From NPR West, I'm Jack Speer. The Massachusetts man accused in a terror plot against prominent U.S. politicians, soldiers, and shoppers at U.S. malls made an appearance in federal court in Boston today. A defiant Tarek Mahana initially refused to stand for the judge, finally doing so at the urging of his father. Mahana, a 27-year-old pharmacy college graduate, is alleged to have conspired with two other men on the terror plot. Michael Laux is the acting U.S. attorney.
According to documents filed in court and unsealed today, Mahana, along with his co-conspirators, desired to take some kind of action in furtherance of jihad. He and his co-conspirators discussed what to do and took steps in furtherance of and support for terrorism.
Authorities say the alleged plot was thwarted when the men could not get into terror camps or obtain automatic weapons. Officials say one of the alleged plotters is cooperating with authorities. The other is believed to be in Syria. Mahana was arrested this morning at his parents' home outside Boston. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says the U.S. is open to talks with North Korea, but laid down a tough line, saying the U.S. will never accept the North as a nuclear state. NPR's Michelle Kellerman has more.
In a speech on nuclear nonproliferation, Secretary Clinton said that the Obama administration is ready to have bilateral talks with Pyongyang, but won't ease sanctions until North Korea takes, as she put it, verifiable, irreversible steps toward complete denuclearization.
Its leaders should be under no illusion that the United States will ever have normal, sanctions-free relations with a nuclear-armed North Korea.
Last week, the State Department announced that it had granted a visa to North Korea's deputy nuclear negotiator, Lee Gun, to allow him to attend conferences in New York and California. It's not clear yet if he'll have more formal meetings as well. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
After 3 days of talks in Vienna between Iran, the U.S., France, Russia, and the U.N., the International Atomic Energy Agency has drafted an agreement designed to ease concerns about Tehran's nuclear program. Larry Miller has this report from London.
The draft agreement reportedly calls on Iran to send the majority of its enriched uranium to Russia and France. They would convert it to fuel for a medical facility in Tehran. Future uranium would be sent to those countries for enriching, but with the amount returned insufficient to produce a nuclear weapon. Chief IAEA negotiator Mohammed Al-Baradei said the talks were very constructive, and he's optimistic.
Everybody who participated at the meeting was trying to help, trying to look to the future and not to the past, trying to heal the wounds that existed for many, many years.
The IAEA wants an answer from Iran by Friday. Al-Baradei said his fingers are crossed. Iran's ambassador said, "We welcome this event. We are fully cooperating." For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 92 points today. You're listening to NPR News. Massachusetts Senator John Kerry said today he thinks any decision by President Obama on sending more U.S. troops to Afghanistan should wait until after the country's scheduled runoff election November 7th. Kerry, who returned this week from a trip to Kabul where he met with Afghan President Hamid Karzai, conferred with the president at the White House today. The latest sign the White House is moving closer to a decision on the possibility of sending more troops to the region comes as new polls show Americans deeply divided on the issue. The top U.S. commander in Afghanistan has called for the sending of as many as 40,000 additional troops to the region. A Southern reporter and author legendary in newspaper circles for his hard-charging coverage of civil rights, civil liberties, and the Watergate scandal has died. Jack Nelson was the Washington bureau chief of the L.A. Times for 21 years, NPR's David Folkenflik reports.
Born in Talladega, Alabama in October 1929, Nelson got his first job at the local newspaper in Biloxi, Mississippi, after attending high school there. One of his early scoops for the Atlanta Constitution won a Pulitzer Prize for revealing that doctors at a Georgia State mental hospital were pocketing fees for surgeries performed by nurses on patients there. He jumped to the Los Angeles Times in the mid-1960s and reported that three slain black students at South Carolina State College had not been militants in a pitched gunfight with police, but unarmed. Medical records showed several were shot in the back. Nelson later convinced a player in the Watergate burglary to tell his story on the record, linking it directly to the Nixon White House. Nelson is survived by his wife and two children by a previous marriage. He died Tuesday of pancreatic cancer. David Folkenflik, NPR News.
Crude oil futures were up $2.25 a barrel to close at $81.37 a barrel in New York today. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News.